flooding in any other areas that cause any problems, and it's good to clear the air. I just go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing to help him to meet with us today. Father, we do love you and praise you, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank you for the rain that we've had over the last couple of days to clear the air. And Father, I pray that we would just purpose in our heart, even with the overcast skies and the rain that will take place here and there throughout the day, that we will have sunshine in our hearts and in our minds today as we prepare to worship our Savior. Father, bless us, be with us again. Father, do what only you can do. We ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus higher until the whole world goes.
Before I make the announcements, I have Brother Hull come just kind of give a very brief overview. He has a new ministry, and some our church family, if you've been here a little while, you're familiar with the Hull family. But he'll be presenting his new ministry tonight in our evening service and preaching for us. I just wanted him to come to see this morning, just give you a quick synopsis so you get an idea of what their ministry is, and hopefully encourage you to come back tonight and hear and see their presentation of their new ministry. Much needed ministry.
Amen. Good morning. My name is Michael, my beautiful bride, Denise. We are the Hulls, and we've started Second Wind Ministries. I've been in pastoral ministry for 27 years and had many issues in the ministry. A lot of them were health issues, and had to have two open heart surgeries during that time. And when you have open heart surgery, you've got to be out of the pulpit for 8 weeks. And you got a smaller church, and you have to have somebody fill the pulpit and preach and teach in your absence. It's a very scary thought because you poured your heart and soul to that church and doctrinally sound, and you want somebody else to come in that's going to be able to do the same thing to edify the people, lift up the pastor, and glorify the Lord. And so going through all that, I know firsthand what that's about. And so our ministry, as you'll see tonight, it's a little different than, it's not like we're going to Uganda and we're going to go start a church there and help the people. So I know it's a different type of ministry, but we know firsthand what it's like, the challenges that many churches face when their pastor or missionary needs time away, whether it's surgery, whether it's some R&R, whether it's going to visit ailing parents or family, whatever it may be. And all too often, there's not one available to preach who is both biblically sound and spiritually safe, who once again will edify the church without disrupting its unity or overstepping pastoral authority. And that's where Second Wind comes in, where we're able to come in and help. And once again, our mission is to provide reliable, spirit-filled pulpit supply and support so that pastors and missionaries can go rest, recharge, and then return to their calling without concern of someone coming in causing division or attempting to undermine their leadership. No hidden agendas, no church splitting sermons, just encouragement, truth, and a heart for unity, because every faithful servant needs a second wind. And so they come back, and once again, I pray you'll return this evening service. I'll bring a little more information about that and obviously preach a message that goes along with that. And I pray it'll be an encouragement to you. We do have some prayer cards on the back table back there. If you'd want to grab one of those, pray for those. We greatly appreciate that. And Lord willing, we will see you tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hall. And he is fulfilling that and being a big help to us here at Harvest, especially me, as me and Michelle will be leaving on Thursday to go tend to our ailing parents and checking on them for a few weeks. So we're so grateful he's able to be here with us. And, of course, the Thorntons as well. The Thornton family, why don't you stand as well, Brother and Mrs. Thornton, you as well. You're partners. Amen. Good to have you folks with us. They're our missionaries to Argentina, and they'll be flying out a week from Monday to go back to Argentina for 3 weeks of the minister they turned over. Then they'll be back after the 3 weeks and spend some time with us. And he'll be reporting. So he'll be reporting next month after I return, and he returns from his trip to Argentina and tell us about their ministry well and just recently turning over and helping a church get a new pastor. As I mentioned before, I know of personally over 100 churches of like faith that do not have a pastor right now. I probably know of 100 to 200 pastors that could sure benefit from having a Second Wind ministry, someone to come in that can help them, encourage them in a, whether it be a transition or whether needing some time away in order they might help. And as a missionary, former missionary, I served 12 years on the field without a furlough because something like that was not available. It was not available. So you be praying for them. Looking forward to seeing that ministry tonight. And Lord willing, the Lord will help us to be a part of that here in this new year coming with our new budget. It would be a blessing to be a part of that. It's good to have them with us. Well, once again, thank you so much for your generosity and giving your tithes and offering, your obedience unto the Lord. The Lord has been good to us here at Harvest. But that doesn't mean we stop obeying the Lord. So we continue on to give and honor the Lord in the giving of our tithes and offerings. And I've only said this maybe twice in almost 3 years. Remember, a tithe is a debt that we owe, but an offering is a seed that we sow. We can't give a love offering until we've given the Lord what's due him as well first. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, speaking of that, we'll also, later when I get back, we'll be taking up a love offering for the whole family for the time filling in for us, as well as presenting his ministry here tonight in our evening service. We'll take up an offering for them. You pray for them. He'll be with us a little while afterwards as well, but also has a missions trip coming up to help another missionary. So let's be praying for them as well for that travel and those travel needs as well and their financial needs as they're really just getting started in this new venture of ministry. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Dave Smith, we ask God's blessing on our tithes and offering.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to worship you with our tithes and with our offerings. And Father, I just pray that you would be with us this morning. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to the preaching of your word. And Father, we have with us three preachers that will be traveling over the next several weeks. And we're thankful to have Brother Hall with us to cover for our pastor while he's gone. And Lord, I just pray that you would give them safety in all of their travels. And now, Lord, I just ask that you bless this offering now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare to go before the Lord in prayer. Those of you may be visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, this is a time we come together, a tradition of the church, and pray for the message, pray for the preacher, as well as I pray for them, especially our men, that God would use us and we'd make a difference at home as well as in our community. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, as we approach thy throne this morning, we do come with grateful but yet heavy hearts. Father, we are grateful that we have a place that we can come together and worship. We are grateful that we know that we know that we know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. We are grateful, Father, that you are who you are. But Father, we also have heavy hearts because we know there may be those who do not know you as personal Savior with us this morning, or those that may be listening via the internet. Father, we have heavy hearts because we have turmoil in our world today. We have heavy hearts, Father, because as human, as mankind, Father, we're subject to sin. We're subject to failure. We're subject to failures and difficulties. But Father, we are grateful that we have a God who can. And Father, help us, Lord, in that area to yield ourselves daily, day by day, that we might live and serve you in the capacity and how you've designed us and developed us to serve you. Father, we ask that your blessings upon our men this morning here at Harvest, that you put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, guard their hearts, guard their ears, guard their eyes. Father, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to be the men that you'd have them to be at home, Father, here at church and in their community. Help them to strive to be godly men that stand out as being different And as your word says, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, that they would live that type of life that the world and those about them would see and recognize a difference in them. Father, we thank you for our ladies and our children here at Harvest Baptist Church. We pray that you would be with our ladies as they strive to be Proverbs 31 women, as they do all they can in their service unto you and into their home and into their church family. Father, thank you for those who labor and love in the children's church and the nursery, and those that provide security here during our church services, Father. Those who teach classes, we are so grateful for the willingness to serve. And those who do things behind the scene with little to no recognition. Not that they're doing it for it, but they're doing it because they love you and they love their church family. And I praise you and thank you for them. And now, Father, I pray that you would help me today. Pray that you would restore and help my voice this morning. Pray that you give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech this morning. I pray that you be with those under the sound of my voice, that they would be ready, willing, and able to put away the cares and concerns of the world today and tune into what you have for us today in your word. Now, Father, meet with us. And again, do what only you can do. We ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Before Miss Michelle comes to sing for us this morning, we'll read our text in 1 John chapter 5, and we are finishing up. We've spent some time in the book of 1 John, and we'll get, when I come back from our short break, we'll pick up in verse number 6, but we'll continue this morning in verse 4 and 5, then cross-reference Romans 12, 2, as we continue about the spiritually defeated Christian in our series on the victorious Christian. 2 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and that is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Every day that we are given.
Well, so blessed this morning. Have a couple of my favorite hymns we're singing this morning, and one of my favorite specials sang this morning to remind me and challenge me. And dear friends, if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, that's the only way we're going to finish well. We can't allow the things of the world to defeat us and discourage us, so we're going to go ahead with our part two. I know I've shared some things last week. We looked at the world causes for the spiritually defeated Christian, and as the world becomes more important than eternity, not willing to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit's control, not replacing sinful habits or sinful activities with something good, and no resolve to do right. And if you're living that way, you are not going to finish well. You can't be living a victorious Christian life. I want to share four more with you this morning. The first one this morning, but number five in our series. Defeated Christians do not reject worldly influences. Defeated Christians do not reject worldly influences. And if we're going to finish well, we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we need to have the backbone, the courage to reject worldly influences. See, the lifestyle of this world is directly opposed to the lifestyle of the Christian. We are distinctly different, and we shouldn't want to blend in. We want to stand out and to be different. You see, when a Christian bases his or her life on foolish philosophy instead of the Word of God, he will live in defeat. He or she will live in defeat. There's no need to be embarrassed or ashamed of being a follower of Christ. We should live that out loud and boldly, not obnoxiously, but boldly for the Lord. Worldly living for the Christian is based on deception that leads to digression, destruction, and depression. We need to make sure that we're living open and clear for the Lord and not being deceitful. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, God urges us to bring our thoughts under control and to think on these things as we have this verse here, Philippians 4, 8 in the foyer, but let me read it to you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. And as a believer, we can't live defeated, because defeated Christians do not reject the influence of the world. And we need to stand boldly and firmly for our belief. I know as a young boy, and I've given somewhat of a similar illustration, but my father taught me and encouraged me to wear your name well. That name Cook means something. From Bristol, Tennessee to Nashville, the name Cook means something in the air conditioning refrigeration business. And it should stand out of not just being a business that service homes, that service industrial services, but a business that is Christian and that is different. We need to be known because your name means something. And dear friends, the name Christian should mean something in your life. It should stand out and be distinctly different. I received a text message over the weekend that made a comment about someone out of Hollywood, a singer, and they made a comment about something they mentioned at the reward awards, and I made the comment and said, well, would it be a wonderful thing if he lived what he said? See, it's easy to say I'm a believer. Yeah, it's easy to say I go to church, but are you living that way that if you never told anyone, they would recognize it? And we need to make sure as believers that we are not defeated Christians, that we are rejecting worldly influences. And the next one this morning, number six on our list, or number two this morning, defeated Christians lack right priorities. Kind of overlaps a little bit. They lack right or righteous priorities. See, right priorities is a must. As a believer, you need to decide right now, we need to decide right now what we're going to do when we face sin. What we're going to do when we face certain circumstances. Don't wait till it comes up. Make a decision right now how you will respond. You see, our priorities and what we value will determine if we are going to conform to this world or be separate. This area is a fierce battlefield in the lives for many believers. You see, if Jesus Christ is not first, then we will struggle to be victorious Christians. He must be first. And then anything else that comes in your life can be second. And I know I've given this illustration before, but this is how serious it is. This is how serious it should be in your life. I know my wife loves me, but in the morning she kisses me and says, go get my coffee and leave me alone. Because she's going to have her devotion time. She's going to have her private time, and she needs a little time to herself. And by the way, I need the same thing. And I enjoy having that quiet time. And if we're going to be separate and different, and we're going to live a life of having the right priorities, we need to make sure that He is first in our life. If Christ is not first, other matters or things will become more important than the Lord is. See, the attitude of having the thoughts and wants of the flesh as free roaming in everyday life will create destruction in the heart, and it will derail us from doing the will of God. We have to make it a priority. This is why it is so important to put the Lord first in your life. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. John chapter 3 and verse 10. He must increase, I must decrease. Let me put it another way. Not only must He increase, we must decrease. He must increase, and everything else needs to wait. There's nothing wrong with putting a pause in our life that we can make sure we have our private time with the Lord, the time in the Word of God, allowing Him to speak to us, and then us talking to Him through prayer. We need to make sure that we have priorities. Yes, defeated Christians do not reject worldly influences. And if they do not reject worldly influences, guess what? They're not going to have the right priorities. What are your priorities? What does your day look like? Do you schedule your day? Folks, I don't know about you, but it seems like the busier I am, the less I get in trouble. The busier I am and have a format and knowing what I'm supposed to be doing, knowing where I'm supposed to be, knowing where I'm supposed to be there, what I'm supposed to be doing. And part of that in the morning is starting my day with my cup of coffee and with my Savior and my word, and the Word of God. And then throughout the day, there's other things that take place, but He must be first. Let me put it another way. I am to set the example. I'm supposed to be the best I can as a pastor and your shepherd. I am to show you how it's to be done. You should see me doing the right things and helping you and encouraging you to do the right things. But if I'm not doing the right things, and I'm not starting my way with the Lord, and I'm not rejecting things of the world, and I don't have my priorities right, how am I going to be a good shepherd? How am I going to do the things I should do? And you, men, as fathers and as husbands, ladies, as a wife and as a mother, grandmother, grandfather, whatever your role may be, how are you going to be good at that role if you're not right with God, if you're not spending that time with Him? I need Him. I need His power. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I can't just come up with sermons on my own. I can't come up without godly counsel, without God. Without God, godly counsel is just counsel. It's just encouragement. I need Him, and therefore I encourage you, you need Him as well. Defeated Christians do not reject worldly influences. Defeated Christians lack right priorities. And next, defeated Christians neglect consistent Bible study. Yes, they overlap and they run together, but I just want to make a point. Defeated Christians neglect consistent Bible study. You will struggle to be a victorious Christian if you neglect your Bible. If you're a bodybuilder, you'll neglect keeping that fit body if you neglect the gym. If you are working on losing weight, you're working on your health, you're working on a goal, you will neglect certain things, you will never make it. If you allow certain things in your life that should not be there, it will derail you. And we need to make sure that the Word of God is a daily part of our life. So important that we feel like we cannot breathe unless we start here first. And I'm going to give a few examples in a moment of where our world today is because it's neglected the Word of God. The Word of God plays a vital role in your spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. You see, a vital defense against conforming to this world is knowing what you believe and why you believe it. So for you Sunday morning glories, that is our theme for Sunday nights. Is finding out, knowing what we believe, and do we really know what we believe? And the only way to know that is to getting into the Word. I can tell you about some things that I've read. I can talk to you on a wide variety of current events. But I can only go so far without studying it and knowing it. I can talk about some things that I've went through in the medical area of my health or Michelle. But if I want more in-depth information and need, I'll speak to a doctor. I'll speak to Brother Mel and get some help in for him because that is his field, not mine. But if I want to know what the Word of God has to say to help me with my walk, I'm going to get into the Word and say, Lord, help me, guide me, strengthen me, encourage me, help me to be that victorious Christian. Dear friends, you need to search the Word of God. You need to understand what it says about what is right and what is wrong. Don't make the mistake of just taking the word of a preacher. That's why you need to have your Bible there. That's why at times we see passages up on the screen, because it's not just something I'm saying and making up. It's what the Bible says. Don't make the mistake again of just taking the Word. Get into the Word and not just listening to the preaching and teaching. Please do listen, but you know what I'm saying. You must understand and know why you are making choices or do not do certain things. See, there is a great power that comes from the Word of God that will not... that will help us not to conform to the world. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, David says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, I believe the heart of our mind, that I might not sin against God. I want to read a lengthy proclamation to make a point here this morning. Again, talking about defeated Christians neglect consistent Bible study. How many of you, just say amen if you agree with this statement, our world has changed greatly over the last 20 years. Amen. And even more so just over the last few years. But I want to take you back in time to February the 3rd, 1983. And there was a proclamation made, and it was Proclamation 5018, the Year of the Bible, by our 40th president, Ronald Reagan. Let me read it. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. Deep religious beliefs stemming from the Old and New Testament of the Bible inspired many of the early settlers of our country, providing them with strength, character, convictions, and faith necessary to withstand great hardship and danger in the new rugged land. These shared beliefs help forge a sense of common purpose among the widely dispersed colonies, a sense of community which laid the foundation for the spirit of nationhood that was to develop in later decades. The Bible and its teachings helped form the basis for the founding fathers' abiding belief in the inalienable rights of the individual. Rights which they found implicit in the Bible's teachings of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. The same sense of man patterned the convictions of those who framed the English system of law inherited by our own nation, as well as the ideals set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I've got to pause for a moment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our congressmen, our senators, and our governors spent this shutdown reading the Bible? Reminding themselves, read Proclamation 5018 while the government is shut down and see how your heart changes and think about the people and not just an agenda. This is how far we have drifted in our country. It's a shame. And we need to make sure we're doing all we can, setting the example, staying in the Word no matter what anyone else does, and praying that God would do something to bring us back to a united country, a united House and Senate and President, doing what's best for our country and base it on the simple principles of the Word of God. And by the way, the House and the Senate agreed on this in 1983. Let me continue the letter from President Reagan. For centuries, the Bible's emphasis in compassion and love for our neighbor has inspired institutional governmental expressions of benevolent outreach such as private charity, the establishment of schools and hospitals, and the abolition of slavery. Many of our greatest national leaders, among them Presidents Washington, Jackson, Lincoln, and Wilson, have recognized the influence of the Bible on our country's development. The plain-spoken Andrew Jackson referred to the Bible as no less than the rock on which our republic rests. Today, our beloved America, and indeed the world, is facing decades of enormous challenge. As a people, we may well be tested as we seldom, if ever, been tested before. We will need resources of spirit even more than resources of technology, education, and armaments. There could be no more fitting moment than now to reflect with gratitude, humility, and urgency upon the wisdom revealed to us in the writing that Abraham Lincoln called the best gift God has ever given to man. Amen? But for it, we could not know right from wrong. The Congress of the United States, in recognition of the unique contribution of the Bible in shaping the history and character of this nation and so many of its citizens, has by Senate Joint Resolution 165 authorized and requested the President to designate the year 1983 as the year of the Bible. Now, therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States of America, in recognition of the contributions and influence of the Bible on our republic and our people, do hereby proclaim 1983 the year of the Bible in the United States. I encourage all citizens, each in his or her own way, to re-examine and rediscover its priceless and timeless message. In witness thereof, I have hereto set my hand this third day of February in the year of our Lord, 1983, and of the independence of the United States of America, 207th. Beloved, as a nation, we have fallen greatly, and the neglect of the Word of God has much to do with it. Let me ask, is it not very possible that as goes the church, as goes our country? Do we have to carry some of the burden of what's taking place in our country? And if we're agreeing with that, let me ask you a rhetorical question. How's your Bible study? How's your walk with God? I've made this comment before. Gentlemen, you need to be asking each other on occasion, how's your Bible study? How's your devotion this morning? What are you studying? Iron sharpeneth iron. Ladies, you need to do the same thing. Ladies, you need to encourage your husband. Make sure, help him out. Bring him a cup of coffee. Bring him a hot cup of tea. Bring him a Mountain Dew. Whatever his drink is that he likes, and says, here, sit down. I want to bring you something while you have your devotions, your Bible time. Mamas and daddies, pray together. Husband and wife, pray together. Not just over a meal, but in general. Make sure you're encouraging one another to get into the Word. Because if our country is this bad of a mess, let's ask ourselves, where are churches today? And as a whole, we are divided. We have so many different denominations, so many churches dropping the name of historically of who they are. You don't know what they believe. I'm so glad that I can go to a pharmacy and pick up some medicine that tells me what's inside. But today, we don't even know churches. The name means nothing anymore. And the name Christian needs to mean something more than it does in our nation. Way back from 1983 to where we are today, we have not slipped. We have fallen. We have broken our legs, our backs, our arms. Our tongue has been cut out. Those things need to be changed. And if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we need to understand and take very serious. As a dedicated Christian, I'm going to spend time in the Word. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to encourage other Christians. I'm going to ask for accountability, and I'm going to give accountability. See, the truth of God's Word is a truth we desperately need today. Not just us as believers, but our world. We were established and built on much of that, but yet today we've gotten away from it. There's sometimes I get angry with the news, and righteous anger. I've got to walk away. I've got to turn it off. I've got to pray for them so I don't wish them dead. But something's got to change. The letter writing, the phone calls, the prayer, whatever we do, that, hey, we need some leadership in our country that will pick the Bible back up and not act like or say I'm a believer and say something on one end and then three sentences later taking his name in vain. We've got politicians today that most of their sentences cannot be strung together without wordy dirds, we used to call them, dirty words, four-letter words. Where's their professionalism? It gets back to us today. As believers, we've got to set the pace for our country. Show our governmental leaders how to act, how to talk, how to respond. Yes, some of them aren't talking very good, are not doing some things they should be doing, but there are some things that they are standing for, and I greatly appreciate that. I'll be grateful for that and pray for the other things. See, a prideful heart feels that Bible study and following the Lord are not necessary. It is our pride that leads to sin and defeat. Don't underestimate Satan, and do not overestimate your own abilities in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Dear friends, there are so many areas our country as a whole has drifted and fallen. Well, they've drifted, just been turned loose and just uncontrollable. They're just running without a rudder. And we as believers and we as Christians, we as a church need to do all we can to pull things back together and be concerned about our own walk, our walk with our family and those that we're fellowshipping with our church and outside of our church, that we're on the same page, moving in the same direction and encouraging them to do the same thing. Because I don't know about you folks, if the Lord tarries his return, it just scares me to think of what it'll be like when my grandchildren are adults. It greatly concerns me. I want to see revival in our country today, but the only way that's going to happen is through the Word of God. The year of the Bible, we just need to make it a decade of the Bible. It'll take a decade to clean things up. But we need to live like it is for us individually as well as collectively. Defeated Christians do not reject worldly influences. They lack right priorities. They neglect consistent Bible study. And then lastly, defeated Christians have a callous or a hard heart. Boy, I think we've all met Christians that way. If you've become angry or bitter toward God, His Word, or other believers, you risk developing a hatred toward godliness in His bride, the church. Some are angry because they feel the church let them down. Many profess to be Christians but are angry at God because of hurt or pain they are going through or have gone through. Some are angry because they feel God let them down. Or maybe a prayer wasn't answered, or a loved one died or is suffering. They refuse to step into a church and worship because their hearts are so angry and hard. God warns us to watch out for this and to be on guard against this potential condition. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation or frustration in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Dear friends, God wants us to be victorious and not frustrated and calloused Christians. I want to live a victorious Christian life. I want to hear, well done. I want to do everything I can in my service for the Lord, but I want the same thing for my wife, my family, and my church family. I want them to finish well. And dear friends, if we're going to finish well, the old saying is, they used to call Pete Rose Hustle Pete, because it didn't matter what happened. When he grounded out, he ran all out no matter what. If he knew it was an easy play, he ran his fastest to first base every single time. And we need more Christians willing to run it out every single day for the Lord, doing their best, starting well, and finishing well. And the best way to finish well is to start with the Word and stay in it and use it as a part, a basic staple in your life each and every single day. You see, friends, our obedience to Him and our faith will enable us to be victorious in our walk with the Lord. May we learn to live in victory and not in defeat. And the way we're going to do that is to make sure that we're not neglecting the word, that we are rejecting the world's influence, that we have right priorities that are set before us every single day, that we're not neglecting our Bible, and to make sure that our heart stays emotional and tender and sensitive to the things of God. Dear friends, as a man, you can say what you want, but I've got no problem sitting here in the row and shedding tears over the music, over a testimony, seeing the joy of some of the folks in our choir singing as they lift their voice, and you can see them on the inside. They're just praising God. You can see it in their eyes and their face and their voices. I've got no problems weeping a bit of joy. And at the same time, I still weep for Goodyear and Buckeye and Avondale, Tartesso, and the surrounding community of people that need the Lord. I still have a great concern and willing to do all I can to make a difference. But dear friends, yes, I want to finish well, but I need to be more concerned about, am I doing well today? And if I do well today and to start over again tomorrow, when the Lord comes or takes me home, I'll have finished well. One day at a time. So as we close this morning, let me ask, are you a victorious or defeated Christian? If you're victorious, praise God, keep moving on. But if you feel defeated, why not turn that around and say, Lord, help me to live a victorious Christian life. Help me to set my priorities where they need to be and start over from day one. Yesterday is behind me. Today is a fresh new day. I want to move forward doing well that I may finish well. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. We'll have a word of prayer. Start our invitation this morning. If God has spoken your heart in any shape, form of anything, whether it be a thank you or Lord help me, whatever it may be, you deal with the Lord. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Lord, I can't help but to think of a room this size with this many people. There are those that are doing well and living victorious, but there are those that still may feel a little defeated. Maybe not feeling fully defeated, but just struggling. Father, help them just to lean back on you, to ask for accountability from a brother, from their pastor, to set things in place and make priorities that will help them to begin today to do well, that they might finish well. Help us individually and as a church family to live a victorious Christian life. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, or Panos is playing. God has spoken to your heart this morning. Where you stand or here at an altar, why not do business with the Lord? Grab a friend, come and pray. Grab your wife, your husband, come and pray and say, Lord, help me to continue to do well. Father, help me to do better than I'm doing now. Father, help me as I'm struggling that I want to do well, that I might finish well. Lord, help me to live a victorious Christian life. Many have come to pray. Others may need to. Don't be bashful. Don't be afraid. Don't be concerned about what others may think. You do what God tells you to do as the Holy Spirit leads you this morning. That we wait for another day, wait till a little later, Satan has talked us out of doing what the Holy Spirit has led us to do. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and the Lord has spoke to your heart. You deal with that right away. Don't put it off. Don't delay it, but be obedient unto the Lord. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you to just pause with us a few moments. Brother Darrell, if you'll come. And I'm going to ask Brother Darrell, when you, before we close today, you have a seat. Before you close, if you wouldn't mind, ask. We love you. Appreciate you folks. Please pray for us. Of course, we'll be here tonight. We'll be here through the week, and we'll leave on Thursday. But pray that God will give us, bless us and keep us safe as we travel and spend some time with our ailing parents. Lord, looking forward to getting back. And as always, we always miss our church family when we're away, and we appreciate you very much. Thank you so much for your support, your encouragement, and your prayer. You're much loved, you're much appreciated, and much prayed for. God bless you.